Thank you, Kelly. As we know, Kelly was our children family ministry director. After she resigned, she took a break, and several months later, she and Kelly and her husband Tyler are back with their two children with us. So this is your church home, right? Not the place you work for. Great, thank you. This is the second Sunday of the sermon series, Lessons from the Patriarchs. Today, we turn to Isaac, the son of Abraham. Of the four patriarchs whose lives we are examining in this sermon series, Isaac seems to be the least significant person. No wonder our children could not really answer the question, what do you know about Isaac? The book of Genesis does not give him much attention. Out of the 39 chapters that are devoted to the patriarchs, the 26th chapter is the only place where Isaac appears as a main figure. He was a role in other chapters as well, but only as a supporting actor, part of someone else's main story. One of those stories is the famous incident of Abraham almost offering Isaac as a sacrifice to God. I'm sure this is a story that comes to mind for most of us and when we think of him. When you read the stories of Abraham and Isaac in the book of Genesis, you will notice something quite interesting. The major storylines in Isaac's life are quite similar to those of his father, Abraham. As his parents did, Isaac and his wife struggled to have their children. As he and his brother Ishmael were at odds with each other, so too are his two children, Jacob and Esau, even from the time when they were still in their mother's womb. There was a famine that forced Abraham and Sarah to go to Egypt. Isaac also faces a famine and has to move to Gerar. To survive in the foreign land, Abraham lied to Pharaoh, the ruler of the country. He pretended that his wife was not his wife, but his sister. And Isaac does the same thing, exactly same thing in Gerar, fearing his own life. And today's scripture gives us another example of how the events in Isaac's life mirror that of his father. How there is continuity and repetition from generation to generation. As was the case for Abraham, God blesses Isaac in every way despite some shortcomings in his life. Earlier in the chapter that we have read from, we hear how Isaac planted crops in the land of Gerar and harvested a hundredfold in even during the time of famine. As a result, he became quite rich. Before long, Isaac was a regional power with many flocks and herds and servants. But as his wealth continued to grow, the Philistines, the residents of Gerar, became jealous of his success. They must have resented his wealth and felt uneasy about his growing power in their midst. So they plucked up. What they did was they plucked up all his wealth, the wealth that his father Abraham had dug, filling them with dirt, and asked him and his family to leave. In the ancient world, digging a well was a symbolic act of claiming ownership of the land on which it was located. So we can assume that Isaac was living in the land that belonged to his father. But by filling up the wells, the Philistines sought to wipe out Isaac's ownership of the land and his rights as a resident alien. Their jealousy and fear was so great that they destroyed the wells that were of great value. Because the residents could have drawn water from Isaac's wells. They could have used that valuable resource, but they stopped them. They stopped the wells instead. Filled with jealousy and fear, out of a mindset of scarcity in the time of famine, the Philistines saw the foreigners who were living in their land as threats instead of assets and blessings. It was better for them to try and cut Isaac's tie to the land than trying to live together with him and strike up a partnership. I see what happened to Isaac and his family back then is still happening in the world today, unfortunately. There are many difficulties, many new refugees and immigrants across the globe face as they try to establish their lives in their new homes. They struggle with language barriers and cultural differences. Because of such struggle, many parents of those immigrants find it difficult to raise their children and to help them succeed in school. They struggle to find suitable employment as their credentials are not recognized and they do not have relevant local work experience. And they are often looked at with suspicion as if they are taking away the jobs of the local people. They are subjected to prejudice and racism. They become victims of jealousy and fear. In the midst of these struggles, those who do not have the support of family, friends, and social networks feel isolated and alienated while adjusting to life in a different kind of society. So what a blessing! What a blessing that our church offers a community of support for immigrants, especially for the immigrants from West Africa, here and in our midst, sitting together in our midst. The African Fellowship started with just a few members, and that is now the biggest small group of our church. Antoinette, who joined the church last year, said that while she grew up Catholic, she decided to become a Methodist when she came to worship with us one Sunday and realized that many of her friends from Africa were already here. So when she found out that there would be a new member class on the following Saturday, she said, "I am coming." And I was not sure if she was really going to come to that class or not. Indeed, she showed up for the class. And now she's a member, officially, of our church. Friends, our church is a place of welcome for all of God's children. Not just for some, but all God's children. Whether you were born and raised in California, or immigrated here from other states or even other countries. Whether you are a long-time member of this church or a newcomer or a brand new visitor today, as the welcome statement of our church included in our Sunday worship bulletin says, regardless of age, race, gender, identity and expression, sexual orientation, cultural background, physical or mental health and ability, family status or financial circumstances, you are welcome here. This is your church family. This is your church home. God has brought each one of us to this place of worship to bless us all with who you are, with who we are, and with all we bring with us. Through our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness, we make this community of faith unique and very special. And we extend our welcome to all who are thirsty and hungry for a community of Christian believers of mutual love and support and respect. Amen? Now let us get back to the story of Isaac. What did he do when the Philistines came and denied his legal rights, his ownership of his father's wealth, and asked him to leave? That's all recorded in today's scripture Kelly read for us in Genesis 26, verses 17 through 25. Apparently, Isaac's personality was meek and mild. Highly likely, he did not like confrontation. So instead of fighting back, he retreated. Instead of staying in the place of hostility and conflict, he moved his family to the place called the Valley of Gerar and settled there. There he redug old wells, like the ones he left behind in Gerar. These wells had been dug by his father Abraham, too. But the Philistines had stopped them after Abraham died. They plucked them up, too. Now Isaac redug them, of course, his servants redug them and gave them the same names his father had given them. Isaac probably, he decided to redig the wells his father had dug because he needed to secure water for his family, and redigging old wells was easier than digging new ones. But beyond just convenience, by redigging his father's wells and restoring their original names, Isaac was honoring his father's legacy and rediscovering the heritage of faith. Redigging the well means for us that we reopen the spiritual wells of our forefathers and mothers. By acknowledging and honoring what God has done in the generations of the past and giving thanks to God for the legacy of our ancestors of faith, we can tap into the depth of their knowledge and wisdom, their trust and faith in God. And we must tap into this vital life source in this time of spiritual famine, spiritual dryness of our time. Because the current struggles that we face are not just our own. as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, what has been will be again, and what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. God has given to us, our ancestors of faith, for a purpose. The saints in heaven leave us a legacy to follow. We can examine how they lived their lives on earth and how God guided them and led them on their journeys of faith. In the stories of their faith and action, of their triumphs and failures, we discover who we are, what we are to believe, and how we are to live today. That's why we did the sermon series on John Wesley last fall, and why we are doing this one, this new one now, on the patriarchs. It is our way of digging plugged up wells. However, Isaac did not stop at redigging his father's wells. He not only redug his father's old wells, but also dug new wells. Verse 19 says, Isaac's servants dug in the valley and discovered a well of fresh water there. Unfortunately, the new well caused a problem to Isaac. The Philistines, again, they came back. They came and claimed this new well as theirs. Again, being a man of peace, Isaac did not try to fight with them, but instead, he moved on. He just kept going. He dug up another well, and the Philistines, again, quarreled over that one also. Once again, Isaac did not fight with them, but moved on to digging a third well. Finally, the Philistines stopped their dispute and left Isaac and his family alone to live peacefully in their land. Do you know what is the meaning of his name, Isaac? The name Isaac means laughter. Where he laughs, where he will laugh, or just simply laughter. But his life was hardly a life of joy. He lost his half-brother through a family conflict. He was almost killed by the hands of his own father. He became successful in the land of Philistines, but constantly had to battle his neighbor's jealousy. Perhaps this is not far from our own lives. While we'll laugh, our lives are often colored with sorrow. We too must carry on through traumatic events in our lives, through our broken relationships with our family, friends, or neighbors. Like Isaac, we too must persevere and learn to keep digging. It is in the process of digging that we can laugh in the face of what the ancient Greeks described as the tragic comedy of our lives. Through digging and perseverance, Isaac found peace. Finally, in his life. But he had one more thing to do, the scripture says. He had to go to Beersheba. It was an important place for his family. His father Abraham had dug a well there too. But the servants of Abimelech, the ruler of the region, had stolen it from him. Abraham took it back from them by bringing sheep and cattle to the ruler and making a covenant with him. And Abraham and his family lived there for many years. So now Abraham is going back to Beersheba, back to his roots. That night, God appeared to him again and said to him the same blessing that was given to his father. Hear that, those words again. I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you and make your offspring numerous for my servant Abram's sake. Then there Isaac built an altar and worshiped God. He pitched his tent there and dug a well. In other words, he settled down there in the land of Beersheba. He made his home there. You may recall another famous story of a well found in the New Testament. The well is called Jacob's Well, and it is a meeting place of Jesus and the Samaritan woman in the Gospel of John. The place of encounter with God in the past is now also a place of fresh encounter. And there in the encounter with the Samaritan woman, Jesus presents himself as the well from which she can draw living water. Then he promises to her that he will be for her and for all others who come to him the source of living water from which we will never be thirsty again. Brothers and sisters, and all my siblings in Christ, may we hear Jesus' invitation to come to him. Just as he was the source of living water for our spiritual ancestors, he offers himself to us as our home, as a place of satisfaction and rest, true rest for our weary and thirsty souls. By the grace of God, may we also persevere as Isaac did, and redig the wells of our faith. May we receive the promised blessing of eternal life in Jesus Christ, who is and who was and always will be our source of living water. Amen.